Bossbro Radio fans. This is Bossbro Radio episode 32 for the week of April 6, 2011. Bossbro Radio episode 32. This is Griffin Hoffman, and with me is John Stanhope and Billy the Cat.
Billy the Cat.
So John, you're just ready to tell me
I was gonna tell you the awesome story about how cats long ago used to make me almost die. Apparently the very first time I ever had like contact with a cat, a lot fluffier than Billy, I petting it, and then we were leaving, my aunt was with me, and then got into her Jeep, and she noticed that my eyes were really swollen. By the time we got to the hospital, my throat had swollen shut.
Holy shit.
And they needed to, they had me in the ER, and they were trying to figure out a way to get the swelling to stop.
Wow.
Like, I was pretty much, I had stopped breathing for a decent amount of time.
Wow.
Apparently, they were pretty excited about how that was going.
You were really excited about cats from that day.
Yeah, well, I had never, like, it was always this thing, just like, my mom was like, anytime you have any interactions with anything that could possibly touch an animal, you don't touch your eyes, don't touch your mouth, don't touch nothing. Like, yeah. We were really afraid that that could happen again, and that I would never be around animals ever again. But now, like, the worst I'll get is, like, a runny nose and itchy eyes.
Okay.
And that's, like, it's, like, bizarre. I never know how to tell, like, what animal is going to trigger it. It's... I don't know.
Because Toby doesn't bother you.
No, Toby doesn't bother me at all, but Toby also did not shed at all.
Huh.
But all of the dogs that I have ever owned personally, I've never had a problem with.
Really?
Yeah. So it's really, really bizarre.
Maybe it's love?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'm allergic to hate.
Maybe, yeah. Or maybe if you love the animal, then you're not allergic to it. Like, after Billy jumped into your arms, now that you love her...
I don't feel any side effects yet, but by the end of this podcast, maybe I'll start drooling out of the nose like a crazy person.
Intubate.
Yeah, go.
Good job, Billy. Get that box. So Ryan is not with us this week. He is not feeling well and has to work. And our special guest has to get some video game prep in before he would like to join. It's just going to be you and I and the cat making a lot of stupid noise.
Hey, I remember how hard it was to jump on here and, you know, get into doing the the podcast stuff and talking on a microphone.
It's, you know, I do too.
It takes some getting used to.
Yeah, that's the thing I tried to let him know, is it's like, no pressure, just relax. And
The best part is just, you know, trying to ignore the microphone and pretend like it's not here.
Yeah.
And just talk like you would normally talk.
I mean, apparently Billy is
Billy is amazing at this, by the way. No care for the microphone whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
Love for the box, though.
I thought she hated it when I put the box upside down on her, but in fact, she misses it.
Armored tank.
So, any other amusing anecdotes? Besides the cat story, are you doing anything besides games?
Did I tell you that we... Okay, so in this new house we moved into, there's a shed, and then there's like this child's playhouse next to it.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that terrifying house.
Yeah, we haven't been into the terrifying child's house yet, but there's the shed. And in the shed, like, for the last month, I've been trying to find on Craigslist picnic tables and, like, stuff that we can have out in the yard and things like that. Well, apparently Maura went into the shed and found... metal table, metal chairs, and a charcoal grill.
Wow, nice.
So we will have two grills at my house, one for charcoal and one for gas.
Nice.
It's going to be really awesome.
That's really cool.
Sort of excited about this. Yesterday was the first trial run for charcoal. I've never grilled with charcoal before, personally. No.
Huh.
You know, weird, but
it's, lots of lighter fluid.
Lots of lighter food. I really learned that. It's like, nope, not a little bit. Like, you got to kind of hit it full bore.
Yeah.
But once I got that going, I made, they were probably 1 pound hamburgers.
Dang.
Yeah, I made big hamburgers. But it was just ground beef, jalapenos mixed in. What else did I put in there? Oh, it's a ton of Worcestershire sauce.
Oh.
And then wrapped them in bacon.
The burger in bacon?
Yeah. Grilled those up. So good. So damn good.
What temperature did you grill your burgers?
Yeah, dude. I cooked them.
Did you pick it? What color was the pick? I'm sorry. I've been doing training all week, and I got done
talking. One pick.
I finished going through like 70 slides this morning.
Oh man.
And after I finished it, my throat was getting like really raspy and dry, and I was like, I am not looking forward to talking for 2 hours
tonight. I remember when Katie was training me, she had her, like, she was already missing her voice, and it was just like slowly coming back.
Yeah.
So I remember raspy voice, Katie.
Yes, it does take a toll on you, especially because to expedite time, I'm not letting them read anything.
Yeah.
Because they're very slow.
Yeah.
So I'm reading everything. It's exhausting.
Yeah. What's up with one girl's chin?
I will tell you more about one girl off the air you would be curious. For the record, if anybody's listening to this, everybody in the training class is doing phenomenal. They're improving greatly. And it is beyond my station to speculate on their outside activities. My only concern is what they're doing in the training class. Thank you.
Good call.
Yep.
Good call. Yeah, other than grilling, I finally paid my last month's rent for the old place.
Nice.
Done with that.
Nice.
Behind me.
That's great. Not paying for a place you're not living in.
Yep.
What's that like?
It's exciting. Just gotta get all my old shit out of there now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, take care of that.
Probably getting that truck lined up this month, so we'll do some hardcore moving. Yeah. I am also thinking about selling my Carrier Airwing on Craigslist. I want to at least turn double on it.
If I had a reasonable place to put that, I might.
You don't, though.
I don't.
It sounds good.
I don't.
But you don't.
Nobody really has a reasonable place to put.
That's my thought. I was like, well, I suppose I could just leave it in the garage here. But I don't want to leave it in the garage here.
Yeah.
I also don't want to carry it down the stairs. And then
I feel like the garage is not a terrible place to put it. I mean, a lot of people traffic through the garage here.
Yeah, the garage is safe, but I mean, I don't know what the water levels look like in spring or what the leakage is on it and stuff like that. And I also kind of just don't want to move it.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm kind of feeling like my lease isn't done. I have to pay March as well. So I'm thinking maybe I'll just spend 2 months posting on Craigslist to see if I can dump it off for, you know, 200 max, $100 min dollars.
Maybe you should talk to Stephanie, the landlord, and see if she'll just take it off of something as an asset, like give you money.
I mean, that would be really cool if I could just then transfer that to the community room. That would be reasonable, but if any landlord I've ever had would do that, it would be Stephanie.
Yeah, oh no, dude. Like, so in case people aren't aware, me and Griff lived for a short time at the same
apartment complex,
and yeah, Stephanie is the most laid-back landlord I think I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some pretty laid-back landlords, but I could go to Stephanie and be like, hey, I can't pay this month's rent for another month. Is that going to be all right? She would probably be okay with that, as long as I told her in advance.
Yep.
Because I had this one incident at work where they, like, stupid boss decided he forgot to pay me for vacation. So
that's
I'm
good.
Like, awesome. Now I'm missing, like, you know, $600 here, and makes it really hard to pay bills, let alone rent.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
So that's great. And so I told her the situation, and she was like, "Yeah, you just let me know when you can pay for it, and it'll be fine."
Cool.
Yeah. So it took me a week to get that money back because they were gonna, you know, give it back to me on the next paycheck.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
So I was really surprised that she did not like lose her mind.
Right on. Well, John, we're here to talk about video games.
Yeah, it's
so
true. Not apartments, not boxes and cats.
Tron is on Blu-ray, though, or is on DVD.
Is
Tron Evolution.
Is it Blu-ray now?
Blu-ray and DVD. And also, it's on the PlayStation Network along with original Tron for download.
Now, there's also like the Blu-ray Collector's Edition of Tron that you can get that also has Tron and the new Tron.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think it is like a
damn, cracking open the Disney vault.
Right. I think it's a stupid amount of money that you
do
not want to pay for.
$150.
Do you remember me telling you, like, when the new Tron movie was coming out and I wanted to watch the old Tron again, just for reference, and play the game for reference, which is the only way you should see that movie because it makes so much more sense after you play the game and watch that movie. Anyway, I was looking on Amazon and eBay for prices as to like how much it would cost me to buy a DVD copy or a VHS copy of Tron. It's too much money. Yeah, is the answer.
Jen looked it up too. It's pretty much a bare minimum of $100 for right. Tron. But that's a Disney VHS, bullshit.
VHS was like $50, something like that. It's like outrageous. Like, why would you want to spend that much money for a DVD? So I finally ended up like torrenting it. I just really wanted to see Tron. I didn't
deleted it within 24 hours.
Yes, I did. I did
that. Good.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool. I mean, Tron is cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about video games. Okay. And before actually we talk about that, I'm going to just do a quick sound check, take a quick break here. And we'll just go out quickly with this. All right. Back from that little thing. Sorry about that. We were just having to do some audio adjustments so we can make sure we are actually in mono and not stereo. Sorry, you were hearing probably John on one side and me and the cat on the other side. Now this is better. Double-sided podcast. Yep. Anyway,
perfect.
What have you been playing lately, John?
Play more Dragon Age. We've talked a lot about that.
Yeah, we were talking outside about Dragon Age.
Yeah, towards the end of that. I'll probably be done with it today, hopefully. Yeah. My review will be up shortly after. I'm also going to finish Crysis. I've been sort of pushing ahead a little bit with that.
Day by day.
Yeah.
Step by step.
Taking about as much out of it as I can. It's like eating so much chocolate that you don't know what to do with. It's like, this is sort of good, but man, it just makes me sick to do this. So I'm just going to peck at it.
Did we have a discussion about this with like Infinite Pizza?
No.
Pizza for a year. Was I not having this discussion
for you? Pizza for a year. Yeah.
How would you deal with pizza for a year?
Well, it depends on like what the limitations of like, because some prize stuff has their own interpretation of what pizza for a year would be.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to take that into interpretation. Like, is your idea of pizza for a year is all you can eat pizza for a year? And in that case, you just eat everything. You just start making up crazy ass like ideas of what pizza is, like start making pizza soup.
Yeah, exactly. Do you blend the pizza and turn it into a pizza smoothie?
Yeah.
Do you have a really saucy pizza and have like pizza soup?
But if you're limited on your consumption of pizza because of the constraints of the prize,
right,
then it becomes a different story.
Would you be allowed to turn the pizza into a calzone?
Well,
that's a slippery slope right there. Are you allowed to double stack your pizza?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, let's define a calzone, though. Is that not just...
It's a pizza that's
like... pizza pie you just flip over.
It's a pizza taco.
Right. You just flip that over and you just pinch those ends and just call it good.
Yeah. But it's baked, though, right? Like, it's baked like that? Or is it baked and then pinched?
I think a calzone is like a giant taco with pizza filling, right?
Is it? But that's what I'm wondering. Like, is it...
You bake it like that,
Do you bake it and then fold it? Or do you...
Bake it.
Put the stuff in, fold it, and bake it while it's in there.
I would think you put the stuff in and you bake it with it folded already.
I would think it would be like a baking as pizza and then midway through folding into calzone and baking more till golden crisp.
Huh.
But I don't know, man. I'm no calzone. I'm no pizza expert.
Yeah, neither am I. God.
I'm no Zospert.
Terrible.
Anyway, you've been playing Dragon Age 2, and we were talking about it outside, and you're a little fed up with it.
I'm winding down.
You were less enamored with it than you've been previously.
Yes, true. I am on the down end of the slope.
I hear you.
It's all just coming to an end here.
And that's partly because you hit Chapter 3.
Yeah, it is partly because I hit Chapter 3. Chapter 3 takes a bite out of you really hard, too. Okay, so here's the weird thing about Dragon Age 2, and I want to make this very clear. I like this game. I like it for very good reasons. I do definitely think Act 3 takes it out of you, but I am still ready and raring to go for a second playthrough of this game.
Really?
And
just
that's
for the sheer...
I just think of any BioWare game I've played, this has so much potential for being just weird in the way that, like, if I choose to do this here, this affects this on the other end.
Right.
And I would really like to sort of see how that pans out if I completely turn this whole thing on its head.
Yeah, you're trying to break it.
I really want to try to break it. I want to play that game as a mage and be a mage hater.
Yeah.
Hate myself through this whole game.
That would be very... you were talking to me about that.
As much as I do not want to play that game as a mage, that's the only reason I would want to play that game as a mage. I just, like, hate on mages. And just, like, make my brother join the Templars and then be like, okay, brother, it's time to take me away. Yeah. Just put the stamp on my forehead and call it good.
That's right.
I want to be liberated from all of this demon worship. Be great. Be great.
I ain't no criminal.
Oh, man.
It has a good message, though. Like I was telling you, I don't want to give too much away, and I'm really excited for when you finish, because when I did finish it, I was, like, Ryan came into work the next day that I finished it. And I was just like, oh my God, I have to tell you about every single thing that happened because it's all crazy bullshit and stupid. And it was really nice to be able to get that off my chest finally. So you need to finish that and then we'll need to talk about the ending of that game.
Is this like a Heavy Rain thing? Or what was the last game that we did this with where it was like, I needed to finish that game and then we needed to have a conversation about how that game went? No, I don't think it was Heavy Rain because I feel like we finished that at the same time.
That was like 2008, so there has to be something somewhere in between there. Maybe Black Ops. I was just telling you about it. Dude, just telling you about the bullshit.
You're aware that I have never played a moment of Black Ops, right?
I know, but I feel like I probably wanted to tell you about how crap that ending was.
Probably. God, I'm trying to think of something else that we would have played that has an ending that we would have wanted to talk about.
I don't know.
One of those is going to be Portal 2. I'm super jacked.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World of Video Game. That was probably it.
Oh, really?
No.
No? Because I'm pretty sure I saw the ending of that video game when I watched that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, good point. Fasten your seatbelts because Portal 2 is coming out at the end of this month. April?
Mid-month? 19th.
Oh, I thought it was the 23rd.
Oh, I think it's the 19th.
That would make sense.
Pretty sure it's the 19th. I'm also pretty sure something else is slated for the 19th. Oh, Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Mortal Kombat. The Mortal Kombat. MK9.
MK9.
Yeah. I will be game flying both of those. I will probably be straight up buying Portal 2.
Yeah. So I'm pretty.
Because it comes with, although this is the stupidest reason to buy it, it comes with a free Steam copy if you buy it on PS3. Will I replay it on Steam? Maybe. Should I try and go for double achievements?
Maybe. Why not?
I don't know. I will game fly for sure and get it. That and, what's it called? Mortal Kombat through Gamefly. Because right now, after I turned Dragon Age 2 in, I have nothing out right now. So I am just paying Gamefly $24 a month for nothing.
So you have the luxury of, like, getting the two discs. Well, I mean, I could have the luxury for another $6 a month.
It's not bad.
But it's not. I sit there and I look at that price and
but
I'm like...
But it guilts you too, though, where you're like, I don't have anything out right now. Or it's like, I just have one thing out. Like, I should just go back and get Nier. Or I should just go back and get, I don't know, like...
That's probably not okay.
Yeah, like, it's like, I should do that. But then, you know, I temper it with like, okay, well, if I go through the process of checking it out, it'll then take a couple weeks for shipping and a couple weeks for playing and then a couple... weeks for it's exaggeration, but a couple of weeks for return, and by that time, Duke Nukem Forever will be delayed a second time, and
yep. See, with me, I have to sort of like look at the timeline of things, and this would be the first time that I've looked at what I could potentially own, and I sit there and I go, Portal 2 or Mortal Kombat, and the answer is. Easy, but then I have to look at what else is coming down the road and be like, well, do I have time to fit Mortal Kombat in there?
Yeah.
And I worry about that.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I ran into this issue, and luckily, because of my slacking off at my job for the last month, I don't have enough money to indulge, but I was at GameStop a few days ago, and I was like, there's like sales going on, and I was like, oh man, I could own... what was the game? I was like, oh, I'll just buy Castlevania Lords of Shadows for for $25.
Do you need to?
And then I was like, I don't need to, but I want to own it. And then it was like Singularity was there for like, you know, $30.
That's a game you might want to.
$30 though. That's
for 30
the thing.
For $30.
I was like, you know, I could probably handle 20, but 30. No, just no. And, you know, it's like,
I mean, it's a
Final Fantasy
game.
13 PC edition giant box set collectors.
Oh, 13 or 14?
I'm sorry, it was
the PC
14. It was like 11. It was like the 11 most recent patched update. Maybe it was 14. I don't remember what it was, but it was marked down from like $179 to like $40. It's like, ah, if I had money right now, I'd be doing so much damage to myself.
Trying to remember which one that would be.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was 13 or 11 or 14, but it was tempting because it was in a giant box.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, I don't even have a PC, but that box is so big. I want to just go make a bad decision right now.
Ooh, dude.
So yes, I understand the issues of like, should I be buying games at that moment or should I not and just be waiting?
Yeah,
because. You like, luckily, Dragon Age has taken long enough that it works.
Yeah, yeah. My other thing is with Dragon Age 2, like, the other reason I want to play that again is because I don't know if I'm satisfied with the way that this game is panning out. And I guess I'll see. But so if they do a Dragon Age 3, which I'm sure they will, like, is that the one that I want to carry over?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like your Mass Effect 2 save sort of thing.
Yeah. That's another game I have to play at some point this year.
Mass Effect 2? Again?
Yeah, because my PlayStation killed itself and now
right.
I don't have that memory anymore.
It's yeah.
But that does mean I can play Lady Shepherd. But then if I play Lady Shepherd, do I want to make Lady Shepherd my shepherd for Mass Effect 3?
Yes. Hang on just a second. I messed another thing up with the recording, so... I'll be right back.
Okay.
And no cat out this time. We just... Okay, sorry about that last mess up. Mass Effect 2 save. You want to keep Lady Shepherd. She's the best.
You say that, and I guess I'll see. I've also played this game, like, so many times now that I think the only thing I have left to play as is just, like, straight biotics person. Which is, like, I really don't like playing as mages.
Yeah.
I really don't. And that's what biotics are.
Yeah,
sorcerers.
Right. The thing that I really enjoyed about just the happenstance that I fell into was I played Mass Effect 1 my first time, Paragon, played it a second time to prepare for 2, or actually to just get the achievements that are associated with being a renegade. So I ended up then having my renegade save overriding my Paragon save, so I was like all renegade.
Renegade.
I was all renegade. It's
my
decisions.
Favorite spice to use.
Just a dash of Renegon.
Yeah.
When I was playing, then I imported that renegade save into Mass Effect 2, and then I was able to choose all the good Paragon decisions and still have enough renegade built up to do all the quick time event renegade on-screen prompts. So I got best of both worlds. It was like, you were an asshole and everybody hates you, but now you're a good guy and you can do all the good stuff, but then still be an asshole. And I feel like I just kind of broke it a little bit. Like, I shouldn't... Like, I should have been able to do it, but I feel like the story did not indicate that I did what I did.
I feel like that happens in Dragon Age 2. There's a lot of... Because in my playthrough right now, I'm playing Lady Hawk, and I'm being, for the most part, a douchebag, but I'm being nice to people about it. Like, I'm always like, tell me what you know, or I'm gonna beat the hell out of you. And they're like, please don't beat me. Just, I'll tell you whatever you want. Just let me go. And I'll be like, all right, cool. Take it. I'm not a complete all dick.
Right,
all right, fine.
So,
I just like, it's the thing is, like, I'm just like, it's like being Batman, I guess. Like, just being really, like, heavy handed with everything. But I still don't really like to kill dudes.
Right. You don't have a gun. You're Batman post-gun.
Yeah, post-gun.
Post-gun Batman.
Yeah.
What was I going to ask you? Dragon Age 2, something or another. Oh, yeah, you said... So, I finished the game last week, and I was telling you about how disappointed I was with Act 3. And it is really disappointing. It is the worst part of the game. The second act is by far the best. we'll wait till you finish it to talk about it more on air if we do that. I was just wondering, because I never got to be Viscount, so I'm wondering how you actually do. Have you become the Viscount?
Not yet, but okay. There is, like, I'm getting more, like, I feel like the more and more I progress towards this direction, the more and more I am getting dialogue options that say that I should be the Viscount. Yeah.
I got a few little spikes of, like, people being in support of me becoming the Viscount, and then
because there's an achievement for it. You can do it.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I thought that was just something that would happen. I thought that was one of the things where it's like,
too.
Eventually you'll become the Viscount of Kirkwall. Duh. Like, that happens even if you choose to do it or not. Like,
yeah.
But it doesn't. So there has to be some choice of events that happen to lead you that way. I have a suspicion on how it goes, but I don't entirely know. Mm. I'm guessing it's probably just one of those, like, keep telling everybody you should be the Viscount.
Right. That's sort of what I'm, like, doing. Any option that says, like, well, you know.
You know who'd be a great Viscount?
This guy.
This chick.
Or chick. Whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, and I also think maybe it has something to do with your alignments, because I did notice, like, the couple of times I spoke up about it, Varric was also like, yeah, you know, this city probably could do pretty well if Hawk was Viscount.
Nice.
I was like, yeah.
Have you got all the champion armor?
I am one piece away.
What are you missing?
The chest.
Okay, so you have the helmet.
I do have the helmet.
The helmet looks like a hawk. Yeah, it's like Altair hat.
It is.
It I'm is kind of cool.
All right. I was sort of wondering what that would look like, because they don't show it at all.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. Yeah. Still doesn't make me want to turn on the helmet thing, but.
Nope. But I did for a little bit, and I was like, all right. I think if I were playing a different shape character, this could work.
Yeah, that is the only bummer about Lady Hawk. That's weird, is she just does not look right in heavy armor.
Eh.
I have a hard time. Did you ever pick up the armor that looks like Horde armor? It looks like
Darkspawn armor.
Darkspawn armor.
I don't think I did.
I picked it up. It's.
Do you know what the name was?
Dissonant armor.
Nope.
It has like blue scale mail under it, and there's big old pieces of spiky black plate.
You're playing as a warrior now,
yeah.
Right? No, I miss that. That sucks.
Dude, yeah, you get it when you... There's a certain Templar in a mission that you can kill, and he has it on him.
Mm. Yes. Dissonance armor. It's it has that gigantic jutting chest piece.
Yeah, it juts out, and then it has juts on the side.
Yeah, not to burst your bubble or blow your mind, but that is what champion armor is. That's the chest piece.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, it just has the scarf on it.
Oh, okay.
That's the only difference. It's a cool, like, I was man, I would like to use this armor, except it's worthless compared to the armor I have, because it looks really cool.
Yeah.
It's cool that they give that to you later.
What is the compiled bonus for wearing all of the champion's armor?
With the warrior, what I got, I think it was like 2 to strength, 10 to health, 1 to, I don't know, constitution, I don't know, fortitude. I don't really remember the details. It was nothing fantastic.
Mm. A little part of me always sort of wants to try to play, because when you get the Black Emporium thing, when you get the Black Emporium thing, you can go in and you can spend a gold to get the thing that you can totally respec your abilities out.
Yeah.
Parts of me really want to try to just like go to Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
But then when I go and I look at the skill trees for like what that would entail, and I'm like, that's going to be boring.
The other thing that I've realized about using a Sword and Shield is aggro management in that game is absolutely worthless. Maybe it's just because I'm playing on casual, and maybe it's because my characters are doing so much damage that my instantaneous pull aggro out off them does nothing, because they are already so high up on damage charts that... Like, when I do taunt or advanced taunt or whatever, it does nothing because my other characters are already, like, decimating the enemy. But I feel like playing that class would suck really bad because the aggro management in that game is really lackluster.
I can say this, that if you stepped it up to normal or, well, if you stepped it up to at least normal, there would be grounds for it. But at some point, those grounds will fade away.
Yeah.
Like... At the beginning of that game, totally necessary to have somebody that can kind of control what's going on.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the longer the battles take, the more necessary that job is.
Yep.
But But at some point, when your people are more capable of taking care of themselves, I still use Aveline as that person. But the longer I play this game, the more I'm like, she's probably not that necessary.
No. Yeah. And that's what I realized is, even though I was playing on casual, there are a handful of fights that I was in that I started to realize that this game is actually pretty well built around whatever kind of character set you want to use. Like, every character has a damage mitigation ability. Mm-hmm. Every character has aggro management abilities. So you can build a party without a tank and without a healer and still succeed based on emphasis on, like, crowd control. Like, it just doesn't fall into the World of Warcraft archetype of you need to have your tank, DPS, and healer. You need to have all three. And crowd control. You need to have all four. Like, in this game, it's like you can run with two crowd control and two damagers. Or you can run with, you know, a tank, like your warrior, which is like your off tank, and then two mages. Or like you can mix and match and not have to go with the straight archetype because everybody has something they can do to manage that.
Right.
Right, Billy? Yes.
Yes. Well. But yeah, so, yeah.
Dragon Age 2.
That's a game.
We've talked about it since this came out, because it's good.
I know, it is really good. And I think another thing that is starting to burn out on me is that, you know, we've complained about it before, is just the lack of unique environments.
Yep.
Really, at some point, I'm just like, oh, okay. So I know the exact layout of this map.
Uh-huh. There's a treasure chest stuck in this corner.
Hitting all the corners.
There's a deep mushroom over here.
I don't even know why I'm hitting all the corners either, because I know going into those things, I'm not gonna find any interesting loot until I kill something. Big.
Crusted diamond.
Yeah.
Trash.
It's like ornate ring. Right. Just throw it away.
Used poison ring.
Yeah. It's like
collection of stained bottles.
Right. All these fucking mercenaries torn
leather
that carry
scraps.
Like empty bottles of brandy on them.
Broken dagger.
Yeah. It's like. Just don't care.
Orlesian scarf. Faded Orlesian scarf.
I did have the one. First of all, Orlesians, probably the best types of characters in the game.
Yeah.
Just because of how preposterous they are.
And how Frenchy-French they are.
Yes, exactly. Secondly, the one time that I thought towards the end of Act 2, I got that mission where I was able to go into the Fade and I had to save Fenrir.
Yes.
Elven man boy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is actually a new map. This is kind of interesting.
Uh-huh.
At least this is something new.
And lo
then,
and behold.
Act 3, and I'm like, oh, god damn it. Like, you guys really only have like 20 maps. That's really all you have.
I do like how they at least address that one where they're like, you go into the Fade and somebody's like, oh man, his idea of the Fade is... the circle mage area of Kirkwall. That's so sad that he would, you know, imagine this world as this.
Okay.
And then you're like, yeah, this is sad. And how would I know this is that location? Just because you told me right there. And then you go into that location, you're like, oh, great, now I'm back here. And I can't go into any of the rooms that I was in previous.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Who did you take into the Fade? I just want to know that.
And I took my usual party, Isabella, Varric, and Meryl.
Okay.
Meryl!
That's why that name sounds so familiar. Oh, man. Does she do sit-ups in her tank top?
Yeah.
And her
undies? You walk in, you actually have to crawl through the vents of her alienage, and she's sitting there doing... dwarves actually, they don't have air vents.
Elves.
Elves don't have air vents, yep.
Yeah. They're so thin, they don't need any...
If you look at her in first person, she'll punch you in the face after she blushes.
She blush a bunch.
Yeah.
She swagger her hips when she walks, runs, whatever. She leave her...
You can tell which soldier it is by the way she wiggles her hips.
Yep.
She wiggles her
butt,
Snake.
She holds her staff on safety all the time.
You've got rookie eyes, Meryl.
Oh man, I don't want to go play that game again.
A little bit, right?
A little bit. I get a little nostalgic.
Oh man.
Do you play the PS1 one or do you play the GameCube one? Oh man.
You would only play the GameCube one if you haven't played the GameCube one.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then you only play the PS1 one.
The only thing that would make this whole situation better if Cam Clark was in Dragon Age somewhere.
Somewhere, yes.
So then you could insert the brother.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Be really
Hawk!
Good.
Hawk!
Yep. It'd be really, really good.
Hawk, that's a time paradox. You can't go changing the past like that.
McDonald Miller.
Were you in Snake's Revenge?
So, what was I saying?
Something about
Templar. So, if you take Anders into the Fade, Anders is not Anders anymore.
Yes, he becomes the Justice. Thing,
yes,
right?
Yes. And that kinda is cool. Kind of cool. And he's the only one that, like, how many people turned on you in the Fade?
Just two of them in the situations that would turn. Which are cool because then they open up new quests.
Do they?
Yeah. Okay. You go and they, like, apologize to you, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That happens, yeah. Yeah. So, who are your two that turned on you? Not Meryl, I'm guessing.
Actually, Meryl turned and Isabella turned.
Oh, interesting.
And Isabella's turning is quite possibly the best in the entire game. Because the Desire Demon promises her, a brand new ship, and she, like, describes it with all shiply terms and talks about, like, throbbingly robust crew members and everything she could ever dream of.
Fantastic.
And then Isabella's line is, whatever you say to her, like, there are dialogue options that you can choose to not lose any points with them. And not have a rivalry issue or anything, which by chance I got those, I found out. But whatever you say to her, her response is, I just told her, I was like, sarcastically, I was like, just do whatever you want to do. That sounds like a pretty enticing offer. Let me turn around so you can stab me in the back, bitch. And then she turns to you and says, I like big boats and I cannot lie.
Awesome.
It's like, great.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, game, for being self-aware. Oh, man. That's pretty good.
So who turned on your one?
Varric.
Really?
Yeah. That's surprisingly. Surprisingly, Varric. But he felt the worst. I felt out of the two people that turned, he felt the most sorrow for it.
Okay.
I was kind of all right with that. And Aveline.
Okay.
With Aveline, the Desire Demon decides to take the form of her former husband Emmerich.
Yeah.
And then with Varric, he promises Varric like tons of riches.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm just like, I don't really like,
doesn't seem to fit.
Well, and the thing is, like, the dialogue options are kind of befitting to that. It's like you got the heavy-handed one where it's just like don't you dare turn on me, Varric.
Uh-huh.
Or there's the other two are reasonable, where it's like, Varric, you know this is ridiculous and you shouldn't do this. Or the funny one, which is like, really? That's all you're offering him is more money.
Yep.
Really? Like, because we have tons of it. So it was sort of interesting. I think Anders' character becomes really cool in the Fade just because he's always glowing blue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's always ticked off. I was also hoping some more stuff developed with the whole, like, freak out with Anders. Anders has a freak out at some point.
Oh, with people and things that you wouldn't imagine are excusable in the world of Dragon Age and friendship.
Yeah, I really, granted, really, really wanted to be like, yo, dude.
In games are, it's like, yeah, all right, like, yeah.
I do.
Murder!
I do sort of tell people to fuck off a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of nebulous, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Also, really, really bummed out that you do not get a single Kunari as a team member, ever.
Nope, never.
It's a bummer. It's a big bummer.
Yeah.
Also, find it really weird that some Kunari are referred to as Sten.
Yeah, I think I was reading about it just means like warrior or it's like a class type.
For and them. I didn't know if because that's what I was sort of thinking. I was like, maybe they just called him Sten in the first one because it's a reference to what he was.
His job, yeah.
And I just, maybe that's just something I missed out on.
Yeah. Or maybe it's just a retrofitting of previous canon, much like how they gave the Qunari horns and right, a different right. disposition.
Yeah, it's yeah, so weird.
Yep.
Because they did not seem like those type of people in the first game, but at the same time, you didn't see a lot of them in the first game.
Yep.
You saw maybe a handful at best.
Yep.
So, whatever. I think they're really interesting in this game, though. Like, their Definitely. Whole way of being is really...
Muslim Borgs.
Yeah. Yeah.
The, one of the BioWare people describe them as being...
Muslim Borgs.
Muslim Borgs from sure. Star Trek.
That sounds reasonable.
Yep.
Yeah. Muslim Indian Borgs.
Yep.
Yeah. Sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah.
Also, no chicks kind of concerns me.
I was reading online.
Of course you were.
I know.
Is it in the codex somewhere?
You know, there was a point in which I gave up on
like
the codex.
Female dwarves.
Where I was like, I will read about all the weapons and stuff because I totally dig that. I dig the lore. But there are so many codex entries about all like the people and there's not Patrick Stewart reading it to me or
enough.
The guy from the Science Center reading it to me.
Fair enough.
So I was reading online about it, and there are chick Qunari.
Oh, okay.
And
are they super ripped?
I don't know, but Stacked. Actually, what I found out was interesting was in the lore, ogres. That's where ogres come from. The darkspawn turn the female Qunari into a like a hive queen, and all she does is just spit out ogres. Just like they turn female humans into hive queens, and they, all they do is spit out like
dark like, herlocks.
Yeah, horde or what is it called in Lord of the Rings?
Oh,
orcs.
Orcs.
Yeah,
orcs.
Yep.
That like goblin.
Yep. Same thing. It's the same
hybrid.
Thing.
Yeah. Same orcs. Thing. Yeah.
Yep.
That's the nice thing about
Dragon Age 2 still going on.
Yep, still talking about that. That is the nice thing though about Dragon Age 2 is it is not Lord of the Rings at this point. Now it's Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because all I could think about the whole time playing Dragon Age 1, I was like, man, this is a Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
There's just no ring involved.
I sure enjoy Lord of the Rings, but not this much.
Nope.
Anything else besides Dragon Age 2?
Henry Hatsworth.
Okay, you're doing some catching up with classic Henry Hatsworth action.
Yeah, I borrowed that game from you, and I did not understand the concept of being a 2D platformer action-y game and being a puzzle game at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Totally get it now.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's totally awesome.
It is, until you hit the, like...
Is there a wall?
Like, it is front-loaded with easy, fun missions, and then there is a point where you're like, yep. This is not fun anymore.
Oh, does it like reach its peak and then
like the platforming becomes so unforgiving?
Oh,
and the puzzle pieces are just constantly there to hate you. So it's like, just like the worst of both worlds, where you're like, everybody hates the underwater level. I'm playing the underwater level, and now I'm playing the volcano level, and I hate it even more, and I hate everything. So
cool.
Let's move on.
I imagine I'll be hating on it for a while.
It's fun, though. Like, and the voice work is by far the best part.
Oh, when I started playing that game and the way that they narrate, like, how, like, everybody's speaking was pretty awesome with the harumph, harumph.
Yes.
The harumph, 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 harumph.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Cheerio.
Cheerio. Yeah, it's really good. Really good. Kind of a big fan of that.
Anything else besides Henry Hathor's Dragon Age 2?
White noise.
No.
I played, besides 3DS stuff. I played the third episode of Back to the Future. I'm playing it right now. I haven't finished it. Definite massive improvement from the second chapter, from the second episode. Really, really fun. Totally new environments. It's totally what you would want from the Back to the Future game. Like, where you go into just this awful, awful bastardization alternate reality of what it should be, and you're like trying to convince everybody that this isn't right, and they're like, no, everything's fine, you're not right. It's great. It's really good.
It's good.
But I have more to play on that. And then the other last thing quickly is my 3DS died.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that.
I have a suspicion as to how it died.
Porn.
Yep, 3D
dimensional
porn. Yep. It's a killer. No, there's actually a stupider reason for it.
Oh.
I'm
took too many steps.
No, I think what I did is I toggled the settings between the... Somehow, involuntarily, I switched between SD card to internal memory. And in some process of involuntarily switching from one to the other, it kind of messed up any programs that I already had running, so I couldn't go back and forth between them. So when I would play a game that had an autosave feature, instead of autosaving, it would just hard freeze the system. Couldn't do anything. Completely stone dead. So I traded, or I traded, I returned it and got a new system, and I've been playing that. And for the sake of science, I streak past. And that works. And it's fun. And as soon as you get your 3DS, John, I say we break it down and test that shit.
Street pass?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, I want a street pass. I want to set it up such that, like, we will take the 3DSs into common locations. So, like, are they communicating at line of sight? Like, if I can see you in a mall or something like that, will they bounce information back to each other?
What's the distance on that? Do you know?
30, that's 30 feet? There is no
nothing indicates, yeah, like,
yep. Or is it like, and there's time and duration. So how long do we have to be in the same area for the same time? So like, if we're sprinting by each other, will they ping?
Right.
Or if we're driving by each other, will they street pass?
Well, I mean, one could. I mean, you could.
So the thing that I was thinking about is, what if somebody came up with some like bootleg-ass software that just expanded, just blew up the wireless network or tunneled it through other wireless networks, so then you would have street pass going all the time. So it becomes not street pass, it just becomes a web interface. So then finally you have a fully interactive non like friend code online functionality,
right? Oh my god. But I mean, well, there would have to be some kind of structure to it though, because if it was just constantly street passing all over the place, I think it would break itself at some point.
Well, it also only street passes when it's in sleep mode, so I bet that's Nintendo's way around that, where they say if it's in sleep mode, it's not going to do any wireless functionality, so it'll only do like internal wireless. It won't do web wireless.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yes, so I got it back. Everything is working fine. I'm getting my hats back, recruiting lots of cats. Street pass is totally cool when it works. I have ran into a few hiccups. The other bizarre thing is when I was going through the options menu, I was trying to back up my save data and like my character profile or like my system profile. All of that functionality says, please wait for a future update. So I would say 30% of anything in the settings menu has a block on it that says, please wait for future updates.
That's so lame.
It's so weird.
Just, so I may not get this until next month.
Like next week?
Get it, John. Hey, I just paid.
John, get it.
I just paid rent at two places.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, we're going to take a break right now because if you can't hear it, we're getting some pretty sweet background noise. So we'll get that taken care of, come back here in just a moment, and talk about some of the interesting video game news that have actually been happening in this past week. All right, so we are back from our little break. Noise issues have been adjusted. Let's talk about news, and honestly there is not too much.
Okay,
biggest thing that kind of happened this last week was Microsoft's weird little initiative to test out their new format of discs. Did you hear about this, John?
No, I have not.
So Microsoft is created a little promotional thing where if you opted to try the new discs, you get a free copy of Halo Reach. The new disc format has some modification. I'm not going to pretend to really understand it, but apparently it eliminates some of the video encoding elements. Yeah, I know, man. It's like seizure-inducing.
Yeah.
Video encoding elements so that it gives you more space on the DVD disc.
Okay.
So you can get bigger games.
They're aware of this thing called Blu-ray disc, right?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Like,
but
they know that's a thing, right?
Yeah, but
they conceded
will
to lose against this.
Microsoft ever actually pay Sony the rights to use Blu-ray?
Probably.
Maybe.
Not. Maybe.
Like, maybe they would. I mean, the long and short of it is, with the next console that comes out from Xbox, there has to be a solution. So whether that solution is license Blu-ray, come up with a different disc format and make it work, or do something completely crazy like only downloadable games or cartridges in the form of like a flash disc.
That's what I want.
Or a flash drive.
I want to buy all my games on USB drives at this point.
That'd be pretty rad, right?
I mean, at this point, USB drives, I mean, they can store more than DVD can, so why the fuck not?
Yeah, well, money. I mean, the money to create that with the game on it, process that for, like, you know, 4 million copies.
Would it be easier or harder for people to hack that?
That's a good point.
I don't know how that works. I'm not that person.
I'm not either. I would imagine it would be easier.
I feel like it would be easier, but I don't.
Rip that.
Right, because a USB you can jack right into a computer and
rip that key right off it and plug it into something else. Yes, no.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, who knows? But yes, so Microsoft is testing this new sort of disc format. So something interesting in that regard. Other news, Mega Man Universe has been canceled.
Bummer.
Yeah, Mega Man Universe, the thing that nobody really understood what it was. There was
had Mega Man and Ryu, and it was supposed to be some sort of weird MMO.
Yeah, not necessarily, sort of kind of MMO, online, like, right? Japanese MMO, where it was like, you're interacting with people in a really limited, like, it reminded me of Little Big Planet, but with Mega Man, where it's like, create your own levels, you get to pull in all these different sprites and stuff from different games, and Mega Man, but
like, trailer thing for it was some kind of weird claymation.
Yes, weird claymation with arcade cabinets and, like, 90s style Nintendo dude getting blown back by his TV sort of thing. Because it's so real.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what else happened? I'm just trying to go off the top of my head. Let me check here quickly. John, have you heard of anything?
I'm trying to think. My feed demon feed just is acting really wonky, so I'm having a hard time getting updates on things. The only thing I can think, if you're super into stacking, that new stacking expansion DLC thing came out.
Oh, really?
The Hobo King. Yeah, you can get it on PSN at least. I haven't seen it on XBLA, but it might be there. Hobo King is available. Thinking about getting it, but then at the same time, I still haven't finished. Still haven't finished stacking.
Yeah.
Probably should finish stacking, right?
Yeah, you should. It's worth it. Just a few things. I guess the next biggest thing is the earthquake in Japan may have delayed the NGP's release. There's rumors of that flying around the internet right now. Obviously, nothing hard and fast on that, since there's no release date, so it's all kind of up in the air right now. That's really it. There's a bunch of downloadable content coming out this week, like April, stuff. Games coming out in April, like
DLC comes out in April.
Definitely. You want to list a couple of those offhand while I check our emails?
Oh, I mean, I know that, like I said, the Hobo King is out. Trying to think what other good DLC games have been launching here. We just got Swarm, just came out not too long ago. The one with the little blue dudes that you
Lemmings.
Kill. Yeah, Lemmings. I was sort of thinking about getting that. I've been thinking a lot about DLC games lately. Like, I was totally really interested in the idea of actually trying to play what's that one game? Shadow Complex.
Oh, you never played that?
Never played it.
Oh, you should play it.
Sort of really thinking maybe I should play that.
You should play it. It was on discount recently, wasn't it?
I think so. Maybe it still is.
Some discount on Xbox, yes.
Maybe we should get into that.
Worth it. Yeah, definitely. Go through your backlog now.
Backlog it. Because we're getting into that kick where right after April,
we're going to start
hitting the summer. And then after May, it's pretty much summertime games, and summertime games are very rarely super interesting to me.
Well, you'll be hitting the weird kick of beginning of summer, all the sort of like weird mid-level games start coming out, like Duke Nukem,
right,
and Red Faction Armageddon.
Oh, that's right, Red Faction Armageddon.
Stuff
that's...
like that start popping up shortly, and then you know you've got Portal 2, like I said, Duke Nukem, Mortal Kombat, MK9 coming out, and so we're starting to kind of rev up, and then we'll be hitting E3. And then the weird announcement starts happening, and then it's the end of the year, and we get bombarded by a million games.
Hey, is Metal Gear Solid Rising still on track? Is there an ETA of June for that thing?
I don't know.
No, I don't
know. I don't know, man.
That's sort of interesting to me.
Yeah, I would hope it's still slated for this year. I would really hope. I feel like a Metal Gear game shouldn't have to worry about changing its release date not for quality's sake, but for competing with other games. So if it's anything that they're modifying the date for, it's for just taking more time to polish the game up.
Well, and that being a Kojima production, I mean, I'm not sure where it's based out of, but it could be also a problem with the earthquakes.
Kojima production is in Roppongi,
okay,
which is in Tokyo area, so... Maybe. No, like Kojima Productions report is still going, so Kojima Productions is still a working company, but I don't know if like any of their subsidiaries or anything like that or any like teams that are also involved in it are being affected, so it could be
mm-hmm.
20th anniversary of Street Fighter recently.
Isn't there some headway being made on, like, they are actually going to release the arcade edition of Super Street Fighter 4?
Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition is available in arcades now, mm-hmm. in arcades in Japan. So not available in U.S. market unless you want to buy a cabinet, or a board for your cabinet. You probably heard it from the same source I heard it from, where it's the characters have all been... beaten down, nerfed, and the only thing that's good about it is the new characters, Evil Ryu,
Shinakuma, and then
Yun and Yang.
Yeah, Yun and Yang.
Yeah, so.
And apparently all of those people are preposterous.
Yeah, just godlike in abilities.
Yeah, we must have heard this from the same source, mm-hmm. But there's some validity to the fact that it might actually be at some point coming to consoles.
One can only hope.
Right.
That, and I mean, there has been, they have made statements, Capcom has made statements in the past, that Shinji Mikami, or not Shinji Mikami, not Inafune either. Oh my gosh. What's his name? Dude who's in charge of Street Fighter franchise in Capcom.
Haven't we been doing this?
What?
Haven't we talked about this, or maybe we're talking about a different...
I'm thinking the dude's name. Yeah, we've talked about it, where they said they have made hooks for downloadable stuff.
That's good, though, because that's what I want. I would not want that to be a disc-based property.
Right, I don't want to have to buy my third Street Fighter copy.
Right.
Unless it's $20.
Right, unless it's super cheap.
Yeah.
But, okay, so if it is a DLC, let's say that hypothetically, how much would you pay for these four extra characters and a whole bunch of respect original characters?
$15? $10? $10, yes.
$10, I think that is the sweet spot. If you go any lower than that, fine.
Yeah.
It's gravy in my...
If it's $5 or $7, it should just automatically be downloading and charging me.
Right.
If it's $10, it's something that I'll see and I'll be like, yes... Okay, I'll pay $10 for a few more characters. If it's $15, it might become problematic because it's like, I'll stick with the old game and I'll play Mortal Kombat 9.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, beware.
This can't be right. What? Infamous 2 is going to come out in June?
Is that already happening?
This is according to something that I wouldn't necessarily say could is be. Accurate, but could I be. Mean... Also, L.A. Noir is coming out in May.
Oh my gosh.
So,
yeah,
and Child of Eden is going to be in June. So I still have some things that I can line up here.
Yep.
Duke Nukem, if there's a God willing, that will be out in June.
June, recently delayed. We talked about that last week.
Mm-hmm. Also, the new Alice in Wonderland. might actually be.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Just trying to see here.
American McGee's.
Yeah, Alice in Wonderland. The Madness Returns or something like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
American McGee's, Johnny Depp's.
I'm really just trying to see here if there's that thing I was talking about. It's actually showing up in June.
It's really all I can think of right now in terms of games. But yeah, we are hitting that escape velocity of 2011 where we will be forgetting about the early games and now becoming all consumed with the games that are coming out midsummer leading into the end of 2011.
Apparently Cave Story is going to come out for
the 3DS. Oh, 3DS. Yep, 3D version of Cave Story. Yeah, and then finally maybe some decent 3DS games.
Yeah.
I've never been more excited about Professor Layton than I have.
In 3D.
Which I don't even think has been announced for America. Probably but not. Just
are we talking about Professor Layton Phoenix Wright?
That.
The crossover?
That I am.
Did that even release? That released in Japan, yes.
Japan. I don't know if it's even out yet, but I don't even know if it's there for 3DS. But I know that is a thing in Japan, and I can only hope that that comes out because I can't think of anything better than Professor Layton and Phoenix Wright. I mean, I'm feeling like both of the things that I hate about those games will be paved over by the things that I like about those games being together.
Yeah. Also, potentially, Catherine will be coming out in July, so there might be a decent click of things that we can possibly sink our teeth into.
Mm-hmm.
Not the greatest things ever. I still have. I could not confirm or deny a Metal Gear Solid game coming out in June. So.
Yeah. What else? Okay. Well, we should wrap it up here.
Sorry.
We'll talk on our own time about what else is coming out in 2011.
Okay, fair enough.
I have been in the doldrum of
remember?
This past month. I have been going back and listening to previous episodes of different podcasts. And specifically their Game of the Year discussions and ours. And, you know, the thing is, everybody talks
June
about...
last year?
Yeah, everybody talks about how annoying Game of the Year stuff is. But, man, I'm ready to do it again.
Yeah, dude, totally. We're already making categories for this shit.
Yeah, for sure. Best 3D game in 3D. None of the above.
I still think
best game that uses good, faces.
Good. Fair enough. Also, I still think so far I really like You Don't Know Jack for best voice acting.
Definitely.
Yep.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah. There's a new You Don't Know Jack pack out.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yep.
So if
you have maxed that out and need more Jack, pack 2 is available for download.
Good. I think also,
do you remember how much that was to purchase? Was it $30?
You don't know Jack? $30 retail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Because what? How much is the pack? $5?
$5, yeah.
Yeah.
$5 to $7. I haven't looked it up, but I was thinking about it when
it
I was
should be a quarter of the
I was
price
planning there. My review the other day for You Don't Know Jack, and I was like, I can't remember if it was 20 or 40 or 30 or how it goes.
Pretty sure it was 30.
Anyway, I think we'll wrap it up here. Thanks for listening. Boss Barrel Radio, internet radio show for bossbarrel.com. Please visit the site. Please send us emails, whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want us to talk about. To those of you who are listening and have been providing us with stuff, thank you very much. We appreciate it. See you next week for another episode of Boss Barrel Radio.